Michael and I would like to welcome you back to this recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, April 28, 2009, and this is hour 86 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and welcome back to all you who are listening in from so many countries out there, and besides the, you know, many thousands of you that are listening from the United States, but there are many thousands out there from various other countries. So, welcome back.
Yeah, it's nice to see the totals. We had between January the 1st of this year and April 23rd, there were 85 countries. So, on Michael's page, one quick announcement is on his page, I finally have the progression of all three of those Cassini images right in a row, ending with the light bulb sphere near Saturn. And did you get to see those, Michael?
Yeah, I see them. It looks very nice.
And also, after the last hour, Michael sent me, I think, three more images to post on the web. Of the skeleton, has no vertebrae, I saw, and maybe the vertebrae wasn't really with the skeleton when they found it, but, and it makes me wonder about those legs. Those legs are so bow-legged, it almost looks like the drawings Riley drew of their flat feet and bow legs. But I didn't see any feet. Were there feet in that display?
No. Yeah, I was mentioning to you how they walked many of the shorter guys up there who look like have a head shape the mm-hmm. way they are, their shape, and you know have really bold legs. I remember a bunch of these short guys running in front of me, and they had these bold legs, and they walked like flap, flap, flap on the ground. You know, their feet would kind of slap at the ground. Flat-footed, bow-legged, and you know, their walking efficiency wasn't the best. But they scampered around quite a bit. They're, you know, of one of the groups that I saw, which was probably the most common one.
What do you mean their walking efficiency wasn't great? You mean their
like
cadence?
You know, like human beings, I guess, have a better efficiency in walking. You know, we basically, you know, can stride away. And of course, those who have taller and lankier, I guess, have even a, you know, nicer stride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of the things that I notice about Obama is he has a very President Obama has a very easy stride. You know, he walks with ease, and that's out of the Bible code too. You know, Bible code says he would walk with ease, and he sure does.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to some who may be observing, you know, got these bow legs and flat feet, you know, and the big round head, some of them. Anyway, that the shape of their head is very much the same. From the top, you can see, looking down, pretty close to sometimes the view that I may have had with some of them looking down on top of their head, had that kind of round, not perfectly round look, more triangular, flat in the back. And of course, they had no sign of a forehead, you know, like a eyebrow or the super orbital crest over the eye was never developed, just big eyes. Anyway, getting past that, that's an idea that when I first saw it, I was shocked to see it, you know. And I read what it was, and I said, well, yeah, it could be, good, you know, but if someone had a bone disease, I mean, you'd expect the disease not to be producing a perfectly symmetrical, well-proportioned skull. You'd you know, you'd see maybe some dents here or some problems with it. But no, nice and well proportioned. Just a little bit bulbous and shaped a little differently, but still not breaking out of the normal symmetrical proportion of symmetry, you know.
So you're saying on the card that they said that this person had a bone disease and that's why their skull was so large?
Well, yeah, it's a basically is a inability to form the bone. But I've looked up others. It's a disease that is somewhat common, and not common, but it can be found in human beings that are alive, besides dead. And those that I've seen do not have skull shape. They look very, you might say, fragile, you know, but they have not a deformed or a skull that kind of dimension, you know, didn't follow that. They have various problems with having frail bones. That's about it, you know.
So do you think now that you're looking at these photographs on the website and not in the museum anymore, a little bit more comfortable looking at it and studying them, do you think that's the head of one of these Biavians?
No, I don't think it would be a Biavian head. You know, a real Biavian's head. I seriously doubt it. However, they may have shared genetics or used genetic form, and this may have been a throwback. And I think, from what I could see, some of the problems maybe with the shaken baby syndrome too could have happened was that this being, this little child, could have been very telepathic and scared the wits out of the people who were around them, and they may have killed it. That's just my supposition or opinion, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm shutting off my other telephones to make sure they don't ring. So you wanted to speak about the seven psychic circles?
Well, that's a topic that you've chosen. So let's look into the psychic circles. First of all, these were, again, shown to me by a high-level teacher, one of the highest of the order of teacher sons, the Dano order of teacher sons, who sat down and drew these circles on the tabletop and explained them to me. And I would like to explain them as one who has achieved them. These circles, as they represent a level of attainment. First of all, let's look at what's happening. We are born into this world three-dimensional and one of time. Basically, four-dimensional creatures limited in those dimensions. We think as we grow up, we reason to ourselves, this is all there is, and begin to manipulate our surroundings and our things, and not realizing that there is more to it. What these circles represent are attainments. We really are constructing ourselves and our soul beyond the dimension that we live in. And these first attainments, the very first attainment was the belief that there is a first source, there is a God, there is more to this. It's got to be because of the what can be seen around and life and all that is. And this turning to presents a attainment in this first level of construct. And there is a reflectivity that happens when this first thing happens, is that there is warmth, love, peace, and security that is reflected to yourselves as beings of this first sentient order of discovery. And it, in that is that that first confirmation, you might say, that reflective confirmation. And it's really good. That's why many have subscribed the nature and reality of what God's substance is love. God is love. And this is one of the very first reflective images that we get back from having obtained the first circle. Moving on to the second circle is one of the most playful and wonderful circles to be within. You know, this one constructs a much more dynamic role within ourselves. First of all, as we move up in our building of ourselves from going from physical needs on to emotional, social, intellectual, and then moving into actualization, these circles form a similar development, except the development is of a characteristic that presents itself beyond our dimensions that we live in. They move ourselves into another realm. We literally are expanding our soul beyond the gates of this world, which bars us from really seeing that right now. In terms of what you might look at is that we're seeing with our imaginations or science dimensions that could form beyond this, but are in fact really there. However, to progress into them requires a level of not only belief and faith, but moving beyond those things where we actually develop relationship. And our adjuster, our thought adjuster, gives us that because it, our thought adjuster, is in all of those positions or dimensions. And through the thought adjuster, we attain presence within those domains. And there are many, many times in which people say they have various levels of development in terms of psychic or spiritual development that reflects certain abilities. But the first, again, is reflected with this wonderful love. The second is also an interesting one. Now, when you move into the second, it's because you request things. It is the one where you begin to, when you grow up. Curtis, you remember ever being like a little kid? Is that too far along ago? Or?
No, it isn't too far. It's the same mind. It just feels like another lifetime ago. But
yeah, I remember those days when you were curious and you went to your father and asked him for why things happen and ask them for this, and sometimes you ask them for a thing, sometimes you just asked why, and you you develop this curiosity or any kind of, you know, thing that you know you cry to your dad for one thing or another.
I had curiosity.
Yeah. And wonderment. Well, what this second circle represents is this asking and receiving. And this is always reflected, but much more now than just receiving the embrace of God, the assurance that, wow, there is a God. You receive this. Some people call that first experience a religious experience, but then it moves on. It moves on to another level, which is a level of asking and receiving. These always end up becoming much more than, you might say, synchronicities or serendipities, but actually, really, a request and an answer. A really, real, definite request and an answer. And these are continually going to be the instruction points for attaining all the rest of the circles, because it, from this point on, begins the relationship where the thought adjuster becomes a much more reflective component in your life, having not only giving you in warmth and in grace, but also giving you specific, tangible, and real answers to requests and desires, even. And Jesus Christ said, one of the things, ask and you receive. You know, if any man ask mm-hmm. his father for a fish, do you think he'll give him a poisonous serpent? Of course not. It's not what's going to happen. And what happens in during this first circle is this level. Oh, by the way, what I was saying earlier was typified in Jesus Christ saying to one man, this is, how do you enter, you know, how can you live forever? You can get to this place. And Christ said, you got to be born again. Well, basically, that born again experience is the construct of yourself beyond our normal dimensional plane, and actually a way of constructing our souls to expand past the animal level. And slowly we'll eventually start to lose the animal legacy that really is those things that some people say are the weaknesses of our character, but actually it's not. It's just, some of it is just necessary. But anyway, going on to this circle, which I define as this developing relationship and answer, request and answer, request and answer. And it becomes one of the most interesting thing. You begin to wonder at it, because it always comes true. Whatever you ask, you know, if you really believe it, you'll receive it. And of course, you'll be asking it in through the gateway presented. That gateway that allowed you to attain the very first circle. And, I don't want to use religious tones in here, but that gateway has a name that you've given it, which is addressing the same for second source that the person impersonality, the personality, and you begin to give the reflective individual personality, and you begin to kind of combine that in a relationship within yourself, and that second circle is developing the divinity that is already in you, but maturing it and creating that. But through this second circle, it's delightful, because it's one of the most delightful levels, because basically you just keep asking and you notice it always comes true, you know? Always happens.
Could you give us an example of something that always comes true?
Well, let's say there's a request that you had and it wasn't so special. Mm-hmm. But let's look at saying, well, I've used this before. This is difficulty in finding a parking. Oh, I'd like to find a parking space. And you'll be given an answer somewhat, and just follow that lead. Of course, in the beginning part, it's like you'll have more serendipitous kind of accounting, because the guidance of you are not just isn't quite as well attuned, but you end up finding one, and you end up finding one like right there, and it's an amazing thing. It's also requesting, some people have requested their lives for specific needs. Some people have in this circle found their thing that they needed in their life, maybe a better job or a job actually when they had no job, was found in this circle. And others have been able to attain what they could not think they could naturally attain through normal channels. They think of something that might need supernatural intervention, not necessarily putting essentially the whole thing to a ridiculous test, but using things, first of all, circumstantial things that might, it has to be a perfect timing in order for certain things to happen, and it'll happen in that timing. And sometimes it will, it'll take a little while longer, but many of the little things that a child would ask for, having a more pure faith, more pure mind, and more pure attitude. Not, when you use too much of your intellect, it dissolves the requests, you might say. It's got to come from the heart. So it's got to be, very similar to the telepathic communication that many of the celestials possess, which be able to commune with pure thought that isn't covered with other kinds of thoughts that are inappropriate, thoughts that are blocking other thoughts, and this kind of confused thought base. One of the things that I found was how specific things can become when a request is made. I've found that sometimes you've got to become not too roundabout in your request. You've got to be, I want a red rose, something like that. And all of a sudden, somebody comes over there and pins a red rose on your lapel and says, "Oh, you look nice." Wow, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And things like that have happened to me. And they confirm, but they're at times I've always noticed that the request is pure, almost innocent in itself. Not setting up. Let's say, I will put this to the test. Therefore, I'm going to do this, and I will expect that. And if it doesn't happen, then this is a bunch of baloney. When a request is made with that method, it generally is not going to be answered. Mm-hmm. But when it is put forth in a almost innocent, childlike way, bang, the answer comes through, because it's a pure request, one that is not covered up with our logical mind. Because you got to remember, we're constructing a correct relationship, a relationship that functions with the thought adjuster, who does not use anything, any gear work or thoughts that are insidious, having hidden agendas, things like that. Hidden agendas are very, very negative, and don't think you'll get anything in testing the first circle if you have a hidden agenda, because it will be seen and then become a rough place for you, because you'd bounce around there between the first and second circle, maybe even hitting the third and bouncing back to the second. So what I mean by the third is a harder circle. It is a circle in which there's more proving and testing going on. So sometimes as if you end up asking for that kind of proving and testing, that's giving this kind of, oh, then if you request that of a thought adjuster, the thought adjuster will request that of you. Therefore, you'll be able to be tested yourself, and then you find yourself in a sometimes a more proving situation, one in which will help to eliminate that kind of hidden agenda in your psyche. And that's how the thought adjuster adjusts you sometimes. And generally, it's not too hard, but sometimes it can move into much more difficult areas. They're all able to be overcome anyway. But the pressing through requires the desire for this. But within the second circle, it's a delightful place. If you have that kind of childlike attitude, and you find it just amazing. I wouldn't discount calling it miraculous, beyond the norm of our normal ability to conceive of these things. I've had people who have said, go look for, they were looking for a job, and they, how? Just go look, you know, and they ended up just driving in someplace and get a job. It's like, how did this happen? But to move also requires something like that. You've got to be in motion, with a hidden agenda. And one person wanted to find a place to open up something, and they ended up finding it without using their logical mind. You know, like opening up the normal directory. They just went where they felt like they wanted to go, and there it was. Anyway, these are the things that happen, which are delightful in the second circle. It's always delightful. It's this wonderful place, but it's only the second circle of divine attainment, divinity attainment.
You said it was maturing in development, and then and then you said, "But your request almost has to be so pure; it has to be
like a child like asking their father, like a child." That's why the father is called the father fractal, because it gives us that sort of authority. But the father, in the appreciation of a child, or a daughter or a son or a child, looking at father. First of all, you realize a true father would have nothing but good for you, and also have almost like, wow, father knows best, this concept, and you have it as a child in a very pure sense. And that's the level in which you begin to realize, knock off all these hidden agendas. I don't need to test this. Just really move on. What do I really want? What I really need? And just trust. It moves on, and you realize it pings back at you. It's there. There's a response. There's a confirmation. And it goes. And it's, as you begin to get attuned, within that second circle, you hear that attunement. You feel that attunement. See it and have it happen to you in your experiences within this this life that we live, that constantly rings that bell of attunement within there, and like, wow, And many times we always move. We who have attained all these circles have moved up and down within them, because it is a domain of being. But it starts off with the very first embrace of love and discovery, and it moves on to the second level of where the appreciation of your requests are rewarded with real and tangible elements in our lives that confirm our childlike requests many times. And requests don't end, they move on, but the little ones in the beginning are neat, you know. Those are little and very, very, very acknowledging. So,
I'm sorry, what was little, Michael? In the beginning, you said it is very little.
In the beginning, these requests many times are not big requests.
Oh, little requests.
Little childlike requests.
Oh, I see.
And they ping back with an answer, and they come forward with a reality. And for many people who when the thought adjuster comes to us, first of all, generally about age 5 through 7, we begin to experientially first try to make our very first approach. And as our first approach is made, we tend to be young. And but some people are been, pushed back or retarded by systems that require us to use our intellect, our minds, to circumvent the thought adjuster's reality and replace it with other concepts of control and ideas. As a result, what happens is that our first approach many times is pushed off, and sometimes we end up being a little bit older than 7 or 8 years old. We might even, be like 20 years old, could be, 15 years old, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old before that first approach is made. Maybe even later, sometimes very close to the death, because of how it's been pushed away and the concerns and the factors that build a life have essentially wiped out those early attainments, those innocent attainments, those little things. And then as you get, more intellectual, more scientific, more, you tend to not accept these kinds of circumstances and serendipitous opportunities that come about. As reflections of communion with the adjusters within the second circle of attainment.
I think I'm sure a lot of your listeners are older than 8 years old.
Yeah, but what I'm saying also is that many are well past the second circle. Discovery, the curiosity, the discovery, the hope to see even more reality from a dimension beyond our four is where some people begin to make their discoveries. Yet at a young age, these movements within the first and second third are almost really smooth and very efficient. But sometimes it's been pushed off. There's we've got a mind, and that's all we have. There's actually much more than that to actually construct outside of our dimensional plane, our souls, ourselves.
So, in other words, a lot of your listeners are probably past their first and second circle.
We probably passed it. And may still be bouncing around within first, second, maybe third circle. But the third circle, a lot of times, if you don't approach it right, it'll kick you back to the first. The reason is that the third circle is a proving grounds. And it's a position where you essentially become more proven or trustworthy. And you yourself understand that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you can become like a more innocent child in your requests or what you want, take out as much of test and see. Instead of doing a test and see or a wait and see attitude in the second circle, it's better to almost be like a connoisseur. You want to taste and see. In other words, you have faith to believe it's not going to be poison, but at least you'll taste and see how good it is. And once you start to do that, that's a more mature level than having that childlike level. But both are operating. The child can operate in the second circle. An adult would perhaps need a more taste and see approach rather than a test to see approach.
Mm-hmm.
The test to see approach will ping you back between the second and the third, because every time you test to see, you'll also be tested to see. So it kind of it's a harder one to do, because true telepathy does not have within its boundaries hidden agendas like tests. In fact, I think it was taught in the Ten Commandments that you don't put God to the test. Tempt not the Lord thy God. And you know, don't put God to the test. Because by doing so, your pure communion cannot happen. There is a level where that pure request is buried under layers of various kinds of, checks and balances that are not required. So I remember that to attain really the true spiritual purity, the Buddhists use a level within their circle. They of course believe in the thought adjuster. They've given the term as the divinity within, and they understand that they create a state which they call mu, or emptiness, and this emptiness is without desire. It is without many of the things that busy ourselves during our lives. And they use a meditative process, Zen meditation, where you kind of just empty your mind of things. But what many times they lose in this meditation is the childlike innocence. So they have an emptiness, but where is the request? Where is the request? It's not there also. So if you attain this, go ahead and meditate. Become at peace with yourself. Put up no barriers. Sit there calmly and quietly if you want. And you can use a Buddhist form of meditation or that type of meditation of emptiness, emptying oneself of all these other things. that could possibly test reality beyond, because you won't be building anything that way, because it's not built that way, beyond our dimensional where we live. In engineering, we always have important basis of design that we go through. We formulate that by, of course, using known values that were, you know, tested too, that we may formulate the appropriate mechanism or structure that can withstand certain of the dynamics, as well as produce according to hope to desired result, having used tests. And this is a scientific concept of, you know, applying science. But what I am looking at right now, what I'm showing you right now, is a construct beyond our dimension, outside of it. I asked recently, if our soul, as painted, you know, in this dimensional structure, outside of what we are, moving into a position which is beyond ourselves, what are these ghosts about? And the reply, of course, was these ghosts that many times people report have a couple of functions, but one of them was put forth as a smudge on a glass, essentially leaving only a smudge at that transitional point where nothing really of substance was built on the other side. And that has to happen. We have to build our souls on the other side. And we do this through this structure of the seven psychic circles. So the second one, again, is a lot of fun, because you'll keep getting answers. If you're on the right track, you'll just expect them. And eventually, there will be such confidence that you know that your requests are correct, and you should see the answers, so you end up looking for them and finding them. It's amazing.
I like that, you end up looking for the answers.
Yeah. Sometimes in the beginning part, it may slap you in the face because, you know, you're not sure how to look. But eventually your requests will become more sophisticated, and you've got to look for the answers a little bit more in depth, but then you find them. And then you realize all I have to do is retain this level of purity of being, and having that request within that second level of attainment, divine attainment, then watch and see and have that reality confirmed in our dimension where we live, and see it sometimes in unbelievable ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said
here's one. I desire to see my relative. I have lost relatives in Japan, you know, and I visited Japan many times, and in this one time I went to Japan, and I had this desire, and it was a pure desire. I would like to see, but I just didn't even know who their name was. I didn't know where to look for these people who are my relatives. I went to a store. It was a special kind of store. And where you have high-level items, you know, items that were all selling at, you know, $10,000, as much as $250,000 in there. Anyway, it's all this collectible art stuff, but it's very specialized. Anyway, I'm sitting across this one man, and he looks like my grandfather. And he looks at me, and our eyes meet, and we suddenly stare at each other, like we recognize something, but then we look down and say, well, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the store clerk comes over and says, "Oh, you know a lot about this stuff." And I said, "Yes, I do, you know." And he commented, "Oh, the other older gentleman that was in here also likes those things. And his last name is the same as your last name." And I said, "Oh, really? Yeah." And he gave me his first name and last name. And he said, "Is it your relative?" And I said, "Well, where is he from?" And he came from the same prefecture where my grandfather came from. I said, "Oh, we're getting a little close here." But then, well, I said, "Well, he already left in the taxi cab." I watched him exit the store, taking his goods with him, and leaving a taxi cab. Well, what happened later, which is very recently, I was able to dig up some old records and have them translated because I couldn't read them. And I found out that the man's name is my relative. He is actually down the opposite my grandfather's brother's line, and comes down that line toward their first children. So it's like the third son of my grandfather's brother. And you go there, there are millions and millions and millions of people in Japan. There is nothing that's going to be there that would prearrange anything, yet it happens. This is the kind of confirmation that comes about. I would say that is almost miraculous.
That is.
Not that but if you look at it from the dimension beyond the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, the viewpoint of making such a thing happen is probably not very hard. However, you know, just to happen within where we live, confirms. So there's another one here, strike up another one, over and over again. This has been going through in my life since I've made that first circle, and then the second one, and just counting away. It just has been one wonderful confirmation after another, continuously.
Well, you said it had to be in motion, and that certainly is in motion.
That what?
You said
be in motion. I had to fly over to Japan, you know.
Yes, that was in motion for sure.
You know, and then move through. It was in the Ginza area, one of the stores in the Ginza area, and first of all, then he also had to move from a prefecture north, many, many, many miles north, 100 miles or more north of Tokyo, to get there and meet at this store at that time. So this is the kind of request that I would make. I'm not taking the normal pathway, which would be get your records translated, go to the appropriate agencies, find the, the records. No, I did everything backwards. I went with a request to the Son of Justice first. That would be nice that I would have, in an innocent sort of way, I would like to see my relatives like that. Well, anyway, that's nice, but I can hope. But then, bang, it happens. And then when I go through the process in reverse, using the normal, I'm going to get my records translated, I'm going to go through it, then go find it. Well, halfway through, then I find out that the person I met there, or just, I didn't shake his hand or anything, I just saw him. And that's basically the level of request that I had, that I would see my relative, and I did. Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful story.
And believe it or not, when I said I would see my relatives there, that is very literal. It never went beyond that. Didn't, see and converse and shake hands. I didn't have any to see. And that's exactly the level that happened. I sat across them on the table discussing to different salespeople. We both were being served by different salespeople, but we ended up looking at each other. So I saw my lost relative. So this is the kind of thing that happens in the second circle. It's a lot of fun, and it confirms the beauty of the relationship with the thought adjuster. And it moves beyond that later to other areas, which I'll discuss. But this innocent area is the way I want to talk about right now.
Mm-hmm. Were you
this childlike area?
Yeah, the child. This just without really having a lot of focus on trying to do this, just to, as you said, playfully do it.
Yeah, so playfully, innocently, and having a heartfelt desire there too. There's no request without desire that is made that, you know, is true. So hopefully you can understand this circle a little bit better, and it's a relationship building circle that moves you to the next, and then from there moves to another. We'll discuss the level. Why I said the third one would be a little harder to understand. It has more to do with character improvement.
You said getting the second circle, it's got to be in motion. What exactly is in motion when you say that?
Not emotion. You've got to be in motion.
Yes, that's what I tried to say.
Yeah.
In motion.
In other words, you do it, you have to be essentially moving and breathing and living here to receive these answer. It's the second cyclic circle would be given the name ask and receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, request, answer, between yourself and the thought adjuster.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take other dimensions further on. But right now it's this between you and the thought adjuster, and it's not a voice in your head many times. It will not be answered that way. Because in the earlier stages with the thought adjuster, especially a virgin adjuster, the language, your language, our language, is not understood. But the requests, the pictures in our mind, and all of these things are understood. So it moves in that request answer, and we become more attuned in that this first second circle to the commune or the communication or the attunement with the thought adjuster with the divine nature.
And you also said you can't test it like a science class.
Yeah, as soon as you try to approach it from that point, you place what is called it removes the innocence, and it becomes convoluted so that the request is not seen. You know, and as a result, don't expect an answer because it's not phrased correctly.
Wouldn't most people who phrase a question, wouldn't that be almost a convoluted question with them?
No, it's not a question, it's a request.
A request.
Yeah. So you request and receive. I want an apple, I get an apple. I want a flower, I get a flower. I want to see my relatives, long lost, make the motion, go to Japan, have no idea where, and receive the answer.
Yes.
Ask and receive. So the second circle is called the ask and receive circle.
Okay.
And you can spend a lot of time in there before moving on to third. There's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Now, you moving in, the second one is wonderful. If you can begin to perfect it, you will continually be able to move back and forth. Even if you attain deeper, you'll move back to this ask-receive place as part of life's natural way, because you've developed a higher level of self, of divinity on earth.
Well, this is really good for the people who are trying to get this picture in their mind exactly what you are talking about, and this makes things a lot more clear. I like that part where it's a delightful place and it's beyond the normal.
Yeah, it's always you will always know it as a supernatural thing. Wow, this happened. The term wow is probably a good way of finding out, the answer came. Think back how you phrased the question. And you said, well, it was so innocent. It was, filled with all of this extra things and overlays of other thoughts and, built with structures of culture and religion and science and all that in its request. No, it was just an innocent request. And boom, the answer comes. Then you realize this pure, innocent attitude, this mu, a concept of emptiness that Buddhism teaches, this concept of no more hidden agendas, no hidden agendas is another. So there, this trait is, you don't have to go through the rigor of Buddhist meditation, but it can help.
So as adults who have, some of us have already gone past the circle, but taste and see, you said as an adult.
Yeah, it's the way of making that. Taste and see, how is it? Good? Ask and receive. This is the second circle. Very, 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 a lot of fun when you start to work for you.
Mm-hmm. And these people can be any age when they're doing this. They could be 8 years old or
80 years old.
Or 80 years old.
Yes.
It's exactly. Never too late to understand.
Yeah. But we're not promised. If we make the first circle, then at least we have structure to, given the opportunity and time, which will be given to construct a life eternal. It's just that we can attain all seven circles here right now and have a glorious level of attainment ready for us outside of our dimension right now where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to sitting there with the Dana, it requires this sort of guidance, room inside of yourself. If your ego is centered in yourself, there's no room for guidance that can guide you through these levels, these first, second, moving on through some hardships later on, but through the first and second, if you have an ego, it will become much more difficult, because then you always throw agendas in your request, and there won't be pure, and you don't feel coming through. If you do start to do that, bang, 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 things start to happen. When you are essentially having the ego, yourself, your ego, your ideal, many things, including your own self, that will be moved off to the side, and you will be able to attain so many of the blessings and the fun part of receiving answers to requests.
Well, Michael, it's once again time to say aloha.
We will
talk with you next time. Thank you, and we'll be working on this. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.